have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally, The Rock has come back home.
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not down with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Super Kick Hot Tag!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome everyone to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. It is Scotty Villa. It is Monday Night Mike. It is UK Tom. The gang is all here. Fellas, welcome back. How are you? How's everyone's week?
Feel full of turkey.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
For all the out of Canada listeners, it was Canadian Thanksgiving over the weekend. And the fellas here loaded up their plates with turkey and stuffing and yams and cranberry and potatoes and some sort of salads and pierogies and sausages. They loaded up. They had themselves a great time. Covered everything with gravy. Guys just... Both my guys are full right now. They've been completely filled.
And you, from the plate you showed us, have probably lost 5 pounds.
I'm still mad as fuck about that plate. Like,
man,
randomly yesterday, I remembered that it was a thing. It pissed me off again.
He didn't even work today, so he's not even frustrated from work. It's from you, Scott.
I'm frustrated from that fucking abomination of a Thanksgiving dinner.
I enjoyed it. I had a homemade bun, and I had some turkey. A little bit of seasoning salt on it.
You always saw the seasoning salt, yeah.
Yeah, what else do I need?
I saw more seasoning salt than I did turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I got a little carried away on that one. But it was good. I was fine. So,
did you go for seconds?
No. I thought I'd be polite and courteous to the others. So.
Oh, yeah, because that one extra bun and two pieces of turkey were definitely missed by those getting seconds.
Yeah, look, I'm a giver. I'm a giver.
Is that what you are? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, the BK I had later was fucking awesome.
For sure. I don't doubt it. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Tom.
that's how we spent some of our long weekend here in Canada. The rest of the long weekend was getting up bright and early on Saturday morning for WWE's Crown Jewel. Started at 6 o'clock in the morning, Saskatchewan time.
That was early. Start.
Our very own UK correspondent, UK Tom, was up and watching.
Yeah,
live. 5:55, I got up. I'm an old man. I got to pee before I do anything.
Younger than everyone on this podcast.
I think I started watching around 8:30 or 9 is when I roll out of bed. So
yeah, I think you started watching just as I got to the main event.
Yeah.
So that tracks.
But this came to us from Perth, Australia. And it started off with Roman Reigns versus Bronson Reed in an Australian street fight, which is different from a Texas street fight or a Chicago street fight or a street fight. But we got the Tribal Chief versus the Tribal Thief. Tom, I'm going to go to you first. What did you think of this opening match?
It was fine. It was a standard 2025 Roman Reigns semi-gimmick match where they don't do very much. I still think it should have been a stretcher match where they made such a big deal out of the Roman Reigns going out on a stretcher in Paris. They might as well have just done it again to end the match. But then I guess you don't get the shocking moment of Bronson pinning Roman. So I kind of get it. It was fine.
This match was not fun. I found it very...
I think this is the worst match on the entire card.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah.
It was slow and just campy up until the end. I didn't mind the end. The end was fun.
I liked the end with the Usos fucking everything up again.
Yeah, all the shenanigans made sense. But up until that moment, this is the second time now in a month that I'm going to have to use this term. I felt like we got like a generic, let's have fun house show match and not a heated feud. I know there's every show.
That's all we're going to get now.
But that, it's not good. It's not fun. I don't have to like it because that's all we're getting. It's terrible. Yeah, not,
God, no.
It's all we're getting.
The rugby balls and the cricket bat.
Oh, the rugby
ball. The crowd loved that. Yeah.
That made me laugh.
They booed the shit out of that U.S. national anthem.
Yeah.
Love that.
Also,
when the fuck are WWE going to get it in their fucking head not to sing the national anthem in countries that are not the fucking states?
Was just going to say, I'm like, you got to watch that out because it's going to get worse and worse and worse.
And it's not even on the pay-per-view, is it?
Like, what? Fuck me.
It wasn't a very good match. It wasn't fun. It wasn't entertaining. I felt like they were just going through the motions and then looking at the crowd to get everyone to acknowledge. And then we get the shenanigans at the end, and there it is. So I don't know. It was a dud for me. It was the least entertaining match of the night. Not saying it was bad. It just wasn't entertaining or fun.
I mean, for the caliber of talent here,
yeah,
probably should have been better. So you don't know who to put that up against. Clearly, it is to drive story.
Yeah.
And not so much about, like, I still don't like, it's great Bronson won. It's great. Like, I love that. I'm all for that. Not for my picks. I'm the Finn Balor of the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast picks right now. Just a bloodbath after this crowd, Jewel. But I still don't see it as, like, catapulting Bronson Reed. I still don't feel like that helped him, even with what happened on Monday night.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah.
Because I do agree.
I don't see it as catapulting him into the main event, but pushing him more towards the upper mid card. I can see that. And they kind of need people there right now. So
he beat Roman fucking Reigns.
Shenanigans. Nothing was clean. It is what it is. It was a fine match with an interesting end, I guess.
That it was.
Yeah. Coming up after that was the first of two Crown Jewel Championship matches. We've got WWE Women's Champion Tiffany Stratton taking on the Women's World Heavyweight Champion Stephanie Bakur. And this match confused the fuck out of me. Did we watch a squash match?
This was going to be my only nitpick of the whole show. No champion should beat the other champion in just over 10 minutes. Like, what the fuck? It was.
This was such a fast match, and it was all one sided.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And Stephanie fucking killed her on that finish.
Yeah.
My God.
I worry they're pushing Stephanie too soon and too heavy.
They're doing what they did with Tiffany Stratton, in my opinion. Too soon, too fast, too heavy. And then in 6 months to a year from now, what do you got to do? Like, you've already won the title, you've already climbed the mountain. It's really hard to get a little behind people like that that have already been the rocket strapped, and then they fall down to the mid card again and flail there for a little bit. I was just baffled by this match because it was super quick. It was like 80-20 in favor of Stephanie Bakur getting offense. I'll bring it up later, but I'm going to say it now. This match should not have been in this spot in the card. Not even fucking close with what we've got coming up. This was terribly placed. And I'll explain
Was
why
it
later.
Okay.
I'll explain
All
why
right.
later. But
I'm not going to agree, but I'm also not going to disagree because I can't remember what else there is.
But it just, with how things played out, I'll explain later. But this match was just odd. And I don't understand why Tiffany kind of got nothing, no offense in, and then just beat handily.
I'm starting to wonder if they're cooling off on Tiffany and realizing she can't fucking work.
Something.
I don't feel that way. You really feel that way, that she can't work? I don't feel that way.
I feel she needs far too much help to be the champion. Like, I'm wondering if in the triple threat with Jade and Nia, where Jade's face got opened up, I'm wondering if Jade was supposed to win and they had to call an audible and Tiffany retained.
Interesting.
No, Jade's getting a big, big moment.
Mania.
If they're going to give it to Jade, yeah, they're going to give it to Jade Cargill. They're going to give Jade.
I hope so.
Moment.
Or maybe she wins the Rumble. Maybe she wins the Rumble and goes on.
Maybe
to
we don't
and do the long run.
Yeah,
maybe make that payoff there good.
Maybe we don't see her until the Rumble because they fucked her face up so much.
That was a good, pretty gnarly cut. Gnarly.
Yeah, I mean, we're midway through October, so yeah, take that time.
But
everyone else is.
Yeah.
No,
hopefully you won't get released
anymore
if you're hurt.
I mean, is anybody really upset to see Rich Holland gone?
I know. Anyone? Big E's not. Big E's perfectly fine with him being gone.
Yeah, it sucks, but they're still paying for all of your shit while you're getting everything sorted out. So
yeah, you're fine. And if you didn't save your money, it's on you.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for you at all.
Well, heard it here first. Fuck you.
Thanks for listening. Fuck you.
I feel sorry for one person, and it's me. Because AJ Styles and John Cena was fucking awesome.
You know, here we go.
Phenomenal.
Wouldn't have any fucking slander from you today or the day of. Guys, this is where I'll let Scott jump in, get his fangs in a little bit on the John Cena retirement tour. I'm gonna let him pile on here. Because you all know how much he loves the John Cena retirement tour.
This retirement tour has been a giant waste of time. It's been fucking shittily booked. And I don't care if The Rock bailed or Travis Scott bailed or whatever it was.
Okay, all right.
Turn John Cena heel could be the biggest heel in the fucking world. And it sucked. It was soft. It was Play-Doh. It was nerfed. It was garbage. And then you just randomly turn him back, the SmackDown before SummerSlam. And you're like, hey, I'm a good guy again. Cheer me because I'm going to fight Cody Rhodes. And yeah, that's great creative. Fuck right off. You've put over nobody in this fucking retirement tour. You put over Cody once and it did nothing. It did nothing for either one of you. You haven't put over anybody from the younger generation. You haven't put over anybody that has a future in this fucking company. You're going to put over Randy. Yeah, didn't put over Randy Orton. Why would you? Why would you? Edge can't come back and help you out. You're just going to fight all these old timers. And then the ones you can't, you're going to just do their moves in the matches. And you're not going to beat anybody with those moves because why would you? That's wrestling these fucking days. Fuck this goddamn retirement tour. I hate it so much. Four dates, can't come fast enough. Get off my fucking TV. Fuck you, John Cena.
All right. Now that Scott's going to edit out his own rant because that went way longer than I wanted it. Radio edit. To. I said he could sink his teeth in, but good God.
Now he's now Scott's done. I'll put my headphones back on.
Scott,
hey.
Question for you.
Yep.
If they booked every John Cena retirement match like this AJ Styles match, how would you feel about John Cena's retirement? I think that'd be a way better approach to the retirement tour.
I'd be having so much more fun with this.
It's
so much more fun.
You could have him be Fruity Pebbles and do shit exactly like this.
Agreed.
Both those guys, though, like, not every guy can do what AJ Styles can do.
Yeah.
But this match for is like, you want to talk gimmicky and like borrowing from every wrestler in the book? It fucking worked, man. All of it worked. Like, I don't want to. People online are just like, oh, it's lazy because of this. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. If you're a fan of wrestling, this match scratches that itch. Sister Abigail alone. Like, if you have a fucking heart and you know about wrestling, that moment is so awesome. And WWE production didn't fuck it up.
I don't
The John
care.
Look up to the ceiling? Brilliant.
I don't care if it's lazy booking. It was fucking fun.
It was. This is the kind of thing that goes on a Palooza, guys. This is the kind of match you have on a Palooza.
So I don't think I've ever been, well, that's a lie. I haven't been as excited during a match in a long time as when the crowd were chanting 619 and John Cena got AJ Styles in position for it. And I'm like, they're going to fucking do it. They're going to fucking do it. John Cena's going to try. Oh, they fucked it. But that was awesome. It was so much fun.
You needed that crowd for that match.
Yes, agreed.
You needed an international crowd for that match.
Look at the John Cena shirts alone. Sea of yellow.
Yeah, that boy made some money that
show. I was just saying too, I'm like, you're every other wrestler. You're like, God damn, John.
would you fuck off so they can buy somebody else's merch?
That's it. But clearly they're excited for this. And now that we're getting closer to the end, I hope this is the strategy, right? Like, let's have the superhero be the superhero. Also, the love for AJ Styles. Man. For John Cena to be like, yeah, it's AJ Styles. Like, I'm going to wrestle AJ Styles. That mutual respect shows with no buildup. You didn't need John in a storyline.
No.
For as cool as that heel turn moment was when it happened, they knew too. They're like, ah, shit. We got to follow this up. And that moment is always going to be bigger. John could have just had these matches. Could have went through the list and had these kinds of matches, and it would have been a lot better for people to swallow.
Agreed. Even the little touch of giving AJ his own special entrance announcement.
So
right?
good.
I don't think so AJ good. Knew that was coming either by his reaction.
Yeah.
I would think not either. I think that's what makes it special, is they're like, we're going to do
that
it.
That was fun. Also, AJ coming out in the short trunks or whatever they're called, popped for that. Really like that. Just need short hair AJ back now.
Yeah,
no, it's not happening.
Keep it long. But yeah, the TNA look was awesome. It was such an. I kind of wish they would have mashed up his TNA music with his WWE music.
We
thought that would have been
that.
Fun.
I remember.
For me, as a well-known, John's just not my guy. Guy, he's just not my guy. I just doesn't do anything for me. This was the most fun I've ever had in a John Cena match. And I've sat through a lot of them. Fuck, he had matches with Shawn Michaels, who's my favorite wrestler of all time. The match in the UK was phenomenal, but this was the most fun I've ever had with a John Cena match, and it will end up on my match of the year
for sure
category.
It well deserved to be in a short list of best wrestling matches, of the year.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I can't say anything negative about it. I mean, I could nitpick the fuck out of it if I really wanted to, but I don't want to. It was fun. It was super fun. I think AJ deserved that just as much as John did, if I'm being honest.
100%.
And I'm glad I was wrong about that match, because I didn't think we were going to get anything great out of that match, especially from John's side. But that's just
great.
Me.
Greatest pro wrestler of all time. Moving on.
Thank you, AJ.
Next now, up.
Yes. What do we have,
here,
Mike?
Here we go. Next is going to be our girl, Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
And Io Sky versus the Kabuki Warriors.
So this is where I'm going to bring it back. Tiffany and Stephanie, now that we know how that match turned out, should have been in this spot instead of Rhea, Io, and the Kabuki Warriors trying to follow what John Cena and AJ Styles did. Because the crowd was dead for this match. They were burnt out completely. Rhea's pop, not significant for the hometown.
Oh, I think Rhea's pop was
yeah, loud. I disagree with you.
I'm against
you.
You
think
on that
that's
pop.
The loudest they should have been for Rhea Ripley? Absolutely not. That you're insane if you think.
I don't know. The greatest pro wrestler of all time came out, John Cena. So like, if you're comparing pops, sorry, Rhea. I know you're the hometown favorite. This is John Cena's farewell fucking tour.
So yeah, so put her on right before John. John's pop's not going to get affected by Rhea coming out before that. And with the
I don't think her pop was affected.
I think
that's what we're saying.
Heavily. You guys need to go back and watch.
No.
I think you're all wrong.
You're all wrong.
Right. Well, I think you're wrong.
That's not right, though.
All fingers point to you being wrong.
No, that doesn't. That's different. That's different.
No, it's not.
Your guys'
not at
opinion
all.
Is different. Mine is.
No, it's right. Ours is the right one.
You think that the way the match that Stephanie and Tiffany, the way that match was laid out, you think that is perfectly fine where it is, when you could have got a big pop for Rhea and Io, and then you could have got a big pop for John and
they
AJ.
They got a big pop, and they did get a pop for
it. Could have been way bigger. Way bigger.
Well, if I'm anything, sure you've heard that before.
Every day.
Could if anything, you should they should have went on first, if that's how you feel.
I think that's true, too. They definitely should have went on first. It would have been a way better match than the first match we actually got. But the eight-minute match that was Tiffany Stratton and Stephanie Vakur, which was a throwaway match, you could have put that in between AJ and John and Seth and Cody. And absolutely. It would have meant the exact same thing. And then you would have got a bigger pop for the girls in the tag team match. The AJ and John would have been just as big. And then you go on to Cody and Seth.
I think you're off on that pop. I think the pop was fine.
Massive mistake on WWE's part. Massive mistake. It's just as bad as singing the national anthem. Huge mistake. But it was a fun match. Very, very good match.
Very much disagree with you. The kick from, I think it was it Io or Rhea that fucking caved in Asuka's face? Whoever it was that was brutal.
It was awesome.
Great match.
That was awesome. I had fun. It was a good match.
It was a really good match and a program that they're going to continue on with.
Yeah. I think Io probably got one of the best reactions that she's gotten in the match in a while, where the crowd was chanting for her, which we don't see a lot with the United States audiences. The United States audiences, they build in her matches. And then at the very end, they're usually on their feet and a lot louder. The crowd was loud for her the whole match. They had chants going, which was nice to see and nice to hear. And the crowd was definitely chanting for Io and definitely not for Asuka during the post-game show.
Well, they were chanting for Asuka, just not very nice.
It's so funny. I love it so much. But I just think placement was off on this one, but I enjoyed the match. Rhea is just, I enjoy this story. I really, really do. I'm very curious to see what she does next, though.
Yeah, it's when Io finally turns and Rhea gets that win, right?
Hope so.
Like that's 100% where this is going.
Hope so. Looks real good. It looks real good. Coming.
Yeah, it looks like another awesome match I want to watch for sure.
Yeah. Is that Mania? Do you think that's Mania?
I think that's deserving to be on Mania. Lord knows they'll put her somewhere in the card. It'll affect her pop, though.
That's a real thing, though. Jesus, you fucking guys. It's a real thing. It happens all the time.
It didn't happen here.
It 100% did.
On a five-match card, it doesn't happen.
I completely disagree, and I think that you guys are just making it up now. But anyway, let's get to the main event.
Oh, I've pressed something. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I don't know what I've done. Where the hell did you go?
Well, I mean, we're still here. We're talking the main event. Yeah, you're still
fine. We're talking the main event. Great. Cody Rhodes is there.
So I will jump in with this one because as painful as it was for Scott to say nice things about a John Cena match, it's about to be that painful for me to say nice things about Cody versus Seth because I am fed up of both of them. But this match was awesome.
Match was all right.
A lot of fun.
It was a good match.
It was good. And Seth pulling out shit I haven't seen him do before, which turns out it might have been a mistake. But
and that headbutt was fucking insane.
That was stupid. Awesome. Stupid.
And awesome.
What happened to you?
So Seth Rollins finally has the balls to be like, I'm doing a coast to coast. And everyone in the back's going, fuck yeah, Seth, do it. And then he goes, it's going to be a headbutt. And I imagine everyone said, fucking what? If you're going to do a coast to coast, do a coast to coast the proper way. The headbutt didn't pop me in the slightest. I thought I went nuts.
I think you're alone again.
When is he ever alone now? When has he ever done a headbutt ever? He's never done
a headbutt. That's exactly it. You did something new. What the fuck happened to you this weekend? Did you fall down? Did you hit your head?
No, because I would never do a headbutt that I've never done before.
And
it
I would never
no
just do someone else's move when you're Seth freaking Rollins. Do something different. It was
and
good, Scott.
Thing. One of the most agile guys in the world. And he's like, I'm
not anymore.
I'm going to go headbutt. Exactly. And he fucked himself up because of it. Great job, dickhead.
Or did he?
He did.
Or did he?
He did.
Did he?
He did.
Did he?
You can't keep saying I believe, get canceled.
I think you said that last time. Just got him.
Got him. I thought it was dumb as shit. If you can do a coast to coast, I would have popped more huge if you had done the proper coast to coast with the drop kick.
I thought the headbutt was great.
You know what I popped like crazy for? That crossroads off the tippy top rope.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Super crossroads. And I was the whole match, I was wondering, why haven't we gotten more Cody cutters? We got one. We almost got a fucking Cody cutter.
Talk about stupid. Why would you run up to the fucking ropes and then jump backwards, hoping that your opponent has stood where you need to be?
You should be saying, going cutter. Every time luchador in the world
does something like that.
No, the only fucking person stupid enough to do a blind cutter is Cody fucking Twink Boy.
That's not true.
Can't fucking work anymore.
That's not true.
With a stupid fucking tattoo, that's fucking asshole for a wife that I nearly said another word that they were saying to Asuka, and fuck me, that guy gets on my tits. Why are they
Sammy
pushing
Guevara
him?
Sammy Guevara is super
mood?
Pissed right now.
Sammy Guevara is a fucking idiot and needs to Andrade to punch his fucking face in again.
How am I the normal one on the pod this week? This is why I'm the fucking fan favorite around these parts.
But that super avalanche crossroads was awesome and dangerous. And
it was cool.
It was very, very cool. I agree. Thank you, Cody.
Fuck you, Cody.
I will say the finish of the match, though, that punch from Seth Rollins with the watch on his hand, he caught Cody good. Caught that him real stiff. Good.
You know what I don't like, though? I don't like the second rope stomp. I don't like it.
No. I will say this. Cody shouldn't have stood up on his 2 feet.
Cody shouldn't have done anything. But
what do you mean? He just did an avalanche crossroads.
That's the only thing he should have done in the whole match. And then
that's more than nothing. That's something.
Eat shit. The only you did at fucking Thanksgiving with that plate, motherfucker.
Plate.
Seth Rollins, the only person that second rope stomp worked against was Omos, because he's fucking huge. Didn't need to do it to Cody.
Oh, okay.
I think if Cody had stayed down on his knees and taken it, it would have been more vicious. It would have been vicious, but yeah. But I think
Cody Rhodes, vicious? Wow.
Yeah.
Is he?
I don't know. Most guys with neck tattoos are pretty vicious. So
yeah, well, he's not most guys with a neck tattoo.
He's the world champion.
He's a fucking twink. He's a twink with a neck tattoo.
He's above.
This is a good match.
It was good, yeah.
This is a good match. Like it's not outstanding.
I think we gotta get it in how stupid those fucking crown jewel titles are, though. Like,
yeah, they're dumb as shit.
They look so stupid.
I'm glad we only see him once a year. I'd be happy if it was just the ring and...
Oh, I forgot about the stupid ring, too.
Yeah, I that part doesn't bother me.
But... It's less annoying than the belt.
Yeah. So that wrapped up Crown Jewel, but I do want to get into the end of Monday Night Raw, because we all saw what happened at the end of Monday Night Raw, including Mike.
I did.
Did you see all of it or just...
No, like... I went and had to do my real homework. Because the opening promo, and I was just like, okay, like, now I'm in.
So
take a peek.
Did that opening promo, I guess we're Monday morning quarterbacking it now, but that Monday morning, or that opening promo kind of told you what was going to happen. Because Seth Rollins said, I didn't need Paul to beat him. I don't need Braun. I don't need Bronson. I beat Cody all by myself.
I thought they would have had that linger over a few weeks, though.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be at the end of Raw.
I clearly wasn't paying attention to the promo because it fucking shocked me.
Yeah, I was in that camp.
I was shocked too.
Like, but whoa.
In the opening promo, when he was saying all this, I was like, you can't say that. Like, they've been teasing the tension between everybody for the last few weeks, and then you're going to say that? Ooh, I don't know, but I didn't think they were going to pull the trigger. Obviously, we get to the end of Monday Night Raw, where CM Punk is now your number one contender after winning a triple threat match. And the Bronsons come out and take out Punk and all the Usos and Los Angeles Knight. And then you get Seth in the ring and they're celebrating. They do a great job of the credits come up. Executive producer, Paul Levesque, executive producer.
Almost like they've used that before. Hey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then the credits go away, but we're still on Raw and Bron Breakker spears Seth right out of his shoes, takes him out. Then you get stands up, looks at Bronson Reed and says, you're either with me or you're not. Make the choice. Lingered on a little bit, but Bronson agreed. Yeah, I'm with you. It's the tsunami. Paul Heyman's freaking out.
I know we say this a lot, but Paul Heyman was almost perfect in this segment.
Yeah,
his face when the
spear. He delivered always.
He was so good.
I agree. And then you get the breaker to Paul Heyman. You're either with me or you're not. Make a choice. Seth raises the hands of both the Braun Bronze and Paul raises the hands of both the Braun Bronze and Seth is laid out. Guys, why did this happen now and what happens next?
Tune in next week to find out.
If Seth actually hurt, it's a great way to get him off TV.
What happens with the belt, though?
He's going to let it go.
Again.
Yeah, right? I mean, they have to pivot to that if he's actually hurt. But I think the Vision as a program, I don't think, was that strong when you look back at it.
Agreed.
Like, I think Paul is wasted with a Seth Rollins. I don't think Seth Rollins needs Paul Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't do enough, Paul Heyman elevating the younger guys. Now it's Paul Heyman elevating younger talent. But I do think they're going to add someone else to the mix.
As like, a leader or just another person? Do you think Bron Breakker is the leader of this group now?
I think that's what you're going for.
Okay.
I think Heyman's the leader.
Yeah, that could also be possible.
I don't think Braun is in a position yet. He will be. I don't think he's quite there yet to carry that. So I think they'll lean on Heyman a lot, which is what he's for. So they might as well do it.
Well, I think the Fed obviously is telling you, they're like, we've decided. And they've been telling you for a while that they've decided on Bron Breakker. What better point here than to really get it going?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And if Seth is hurt and is going to be back soon-ish, what a great way for Bron Breakker to win his first world title.
Yeah, because I don't think that's the title Punk's going to be holding.
No, I don't think so.
I think we all know what title he's going to be holding.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Punk
like will win his title. He's getting Cody's title.
And that's actually a match I'd be interested in.
I think a lot of people would.
Because they would work to Cody's strengths, which is more old school matches, apart from the stupid fucking Cody cutter. But I think it'd be a very interesting match.
I think it works for an older Phil who could work slower too. And when he does, it does look better.
Yeah. I think
I think that's the better program for Mania. I do. I think Punk Cody is the best thing to put on a poster for Mania. I really do.
Punk wins the Rumble in Saudi?
Yeah.
I think he wins the chamber match in Chicago.
I think that's the way better route to go for sure.
I have one bold prediction. I think Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed take out Paul Heyman next week on Raw.
Wow. Paul goes right back with Brock, whatever they're going to use.
That's
Brock
what
for.
I think. I just have this weird feeling. I just don't feel the connection with
an
older Paul Heyman with these two young hosses. And if they're adding a third,
Brock and Braun would be a good,
right?
That'd be a great person for Lesnar to work with.
I feel like Paul Heyman's getting taken out. But I do agree with you, Punk versus Cody, because they teased it last year around Rumble time. Yeah. He went face to face in a promo, and everyone, it changed everything for like a week. Everyone's saying, oh, it's Cody and Punk at Mania this year. And then they changed gears again and went back with what they were normally going to do. But, I would love to see that. I feel like that Raw championship needs some massive star power, so it wouldn't surprise me if they put it on Punk either. They need to keep that thing somewhat relevant.
They need you're gearing up now. Like what your plan is to tell stories to lead you into Mania, kind of got to start doing that. Survivor Series is where it is. Like this is where we got to move. This is where we're deciding what's going to happen at Rumble and then what's going to happen at Mania.
So do we get returns of like Brock Lesnar and Gunther at Survivor Series? Do we get
at Survivor Series now?
I mean, Gunther is what? Is Gunther not going to be seen as last?
In my opinion, he has to be. There's no other option. my opinion, there's
and
no
go,
other
and
option.
Go over. There's it, get a heels in WWE could do better.
Yeah,
just saying. Like we could do better by heels, and I think having John let Gunther go over is a smart move for WWE business.
Speaking,
or if it's in Washington, you're kind of good though, because the hero goes over in Washington and beats the big threat from across the sea.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fucked. Gunther may end up losing to John Cena that's the case.
And then you guys got to come on here and sing his praises of.
Oh, I will. John. Greatest wrestler of all time.
Yeah. Fuck that. Fuck.
Speaking
that.
Of threats across the sea, I've just finished Brian Solomon's book on the original Sheik, Sabu's uncle. Nice. If you are interested in wrestling history, this is a fantastic book, and I highly recommend it to everybody.
Everyone, get out there. Get it on your Kindle. Go buy a physical, whatever you need.
And also, Reaper Wrestling, the first half, which is the Symphony of Decay, will be up on YouTube on Thursday. It's actually going up this time. Aaron, if it doesn't and you make me wrong again, I'm a kick you in the dingleberry.
Make him wrong. We love it. We'll call him out next week.
I don't think he's ever made you wrong. We've just said it's coming out on Thursday.
Said which Thursday. I
yeah,
wasn't
that's right.
Okay. I take back my frets of violence.
And while
I hear they may be playing the Monster Mash in the recorded version of it.
And while you're doing all of that, make sure to hit us up on all the socials at In My House Pod on YouTube as well, and wherever you find your podcasts, follow, like, subscribe, download. All that fun shit. It means the world to us, and it helps us do a lot more cool stuff here. But fellas, this one flew by, but it's been fun. Well, let's wrap it up. For UK Tom, for Monday Night Mike, I'm Scotty Villa. It's been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house.
It's my house.
Yowie wowie.
And here's an ad for dick cream.